on this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey, T-Ballers, do you have to wear skirts, love pink, and wear bows in your hair to be feminine? Let's talk about that today.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Art Lab. We are so happy to have you here today. So we are going to talk about healthy femininity today, and I am joined by our two other Art Lab ladies, Debbie and Heather today. For those of you who don't know, we are all family. Debbie's our mom, Heather's my sister, but we recently started a new page on Twitter called Psychology for Women at Flow Tribe. Come follow us. We'd love to have you. But we decided to start the page so that way we could provide, you know, psychologically healthy information for women by women. And I thought it would be good to have a podcast episode to kind of cover the topic of healthy femininity, because I know there's been a lot of different ideas about what femininity is in today's world. So we thought, hey, let's take a healthy psychological perspective on this. So when you think of the term femininity, whether it's stereotypical or not, what kind of comes to your mind?
Stereotypically, I think of lace and pink and, you know, dainty and nails.
Yeah.
Pedicures. High heels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dresses.
I myself am more of a tomboy, and I believe Heather mm-hmm. is too.
Oh, definitely.
As well.
And so there's kind of the whole idea, well, can I still be feminine and associate myself with things that people might not think of as feminine? So I am a martial artist. If any of you have read my bio on our landing page, I do live action role play. Haven't done it recently, but I used to love that kind of stuff. On the more feminine side, I guess, if you're talking stereotypically, I did do tap dance, which was a lot of fun. But no, I really think kind of our thought life can get in the way of us understanding what true femininity is and just taking in what culture says. Because it seems like there's almost a war on being feminine in our society. Like, it's a bad thing to be gentle and kind and caring and nurturing, that we're not strong if we are gentle and kind and caring and nurturing. But what has y'all's experience been with that, or with noticing that?
No, that's true. I'll see a lot of posts, or I'll hear people talk about it, and it's almost like women have to be tough and rough, and that being gentle and kind and nurturing, as you said, is a weakness. Or if we are married, you know, our spouse, if we have a perspective that he's kind of a covering for us, mm-hmm. you know, I actually like that. I actually really like that if there's something difficult, I can go to my husband, who this month will be my husband of 40 years. I like that I can come to him, you know, and let him be in charge and take care of difficult things. But I've always been a tomboy as well. You know, I always preferred cars over mm-hmm. Barbies and things, and I like jeans and t-shirts over dresses. But I also enjoy taking care of people and nourishing and being gentle. And I don't think that's a bad thing. What have y'all heard?
I've heard kind of the same things. Other things too, like kind of the independence, like you don't need anyone else, like you can be independent and do your own thing. And that is true, but I do think I agree with you that it's good to have someone to lean on sometimes, or even sometimes just to know that the courtesy of like a guy or someone opening the door for you and, you know, holding it for you, it's not because they're belittling you. It's more, in my opinion, kind of out of respect. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing to have. And if someone does that, you know, I've heard about some people, you know, well, I don't need you to hold the door for me here. I can get it myself. But it's more of just kind of thanking that person. And I've always, you know, preferred jeans, and I don't really carry a purse. Right now I have a chain wallet. That's, you know, like, it's kind of, you know, I like, you know, the like more what would be considered in society kind of more masculine things, but at the same time my bedroom is pink and purple and lime green, and I enjoy stuffed animals, but I also enjoy, you know, action figures, action movies, you know, that D&D, like that kind of stuff, you know, like I think being feminine is more about like the way you present yourself. Also, it seems like women lean more towards being like a caretaker, like you're caring for others.
Do you think that women are different than men and that it's a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, and those of you who've listened to our podcast, you know that we are all believers here and we kind of come from that perspective. And a lot of people may view that perspective as, well, you know, you're just saying that men are superior and that they rule over us. And it's like, that's not actually what it says. It says that we both have our own complementary roles and that neither one is above the other. And in fact, I kind of see it as the men have the more kind of difficult touch and go job because they're supposed to act as Christ treats the church. And if I had to be in that position of God was going to compare me to Christ loving the church, I would be very careful with how I took that position, because I think there's a little bit more of that kind of responsibility that goes with it. But no, I don't think that women are any less, and I don't think it's meant to be that women are any less. We have the unique opportunity to provide a role that men are not able to provide. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people look at it that way. I think they look at it as, well, if they can have it, then I should be able to have it. It comes back to perspective and how we choose to view it. If I choose to sit here and think, well, you know, if men can do this and if they can have this and if it's not something that I get to have, well, then I must be seen as lesser. I must not be. We're basically kind of basing our worth on something that our worth should not be based on. Mm-hmm. Our worth is inherent to each of us. It is, you know, basically assigned at birth. It does not come from anything out there. It comes from in here. So a lot of it, I do think, comes down to perspective and the way that we choose to think about things. If I choose to think, you know, well, when I get home, I'm going to cook dinner. I'm going to do the laundry. I'm going to do the dishes. I might think, well, you know, it's just because I was born as a woman and people think that this is what I have to do and this is horrible and I wish my husband would get off his butt and da 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 da. Well,
the Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the Ethical Principles of Psychologists and Code of Conduct. Fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the art lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
Hey, T-Ballers, welcome to Fresh from the Therapy Couch, where we talk about situations that people just like you struggle with every day. And the topic that I'm going to talk about today is one that I've talked about on my For Ladies Only page, Psychology for Women. And it has to do with how we view our husbands. So if you want to go check out that post, go look at my flow page. But so what the post was talking about is how we tend to mind read with our spouses. So if I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking while I'm also doing laundry and I'm also clearing clutter off the table and doing multiple things at once, and my husband may have come home from a difficult day at work and he's just sitting on the couch on his phone, it is very tempting for me to think, oh my goodness, can't he see how much help I need? Can't he see I'm frustrated and that I had a difficult day too? Well, the answer to that is no, he can't see that. He can't read my mind. He doesn't know what's going on in my head. So at this point, I have a couple choices. I can either continue to be frustrated and continue to tell myself, man, this guy just doesn't even really care. Or I could try asking him for help and letting him know, hey, I am having a difficult time. I would love it if you would help me, if we could do it together. We can even turn on some music and make it fun. But if we don't ask, our partner doesn't know. They can't read our mind, even if we ask them the day before. And that's something that I hear a lot when I'm doing therapy with people. Well, I asked him yesterday, shouldn't he know that he needs to help me again today? Well, he may not think that way. He can't read your mind. So instead of assuming things and mind reading, why don't we try just asking instead?
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab, bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball Team.
In my experience, if I ask my husband, and I know this isn't everybody's experience, so I'm very grateful, but in my experience, if I just actually ask my husband for help, he is more than willing to help me. Now, sometimes there may be a little grumble here and there, but I have plenty of grumbles myself. If we view it from the perspective of, hey, I get to do this, this is something that I am able to do, and there are things that I believe women are better at doing than men. There are some roles that we fulfill better. Mm-hmm. Like we've talked about it, the nurturing role. You know, sometimes we can get through to people in a different way and it works better than men. Now, there's other situations where men may be able to get through to people better than we can. But I think the important thing is they're complementary roles and mm-hmm. they're not really seen that way anymore. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of almost the mindset of anything you can do, I can do better. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe it's supposed to be that way. Kind of like you were saying, it's complementary. Like we're almost two sides to the same coin. Like you can't have one without the other. Like it's, you can do things independently and by yourself.
And I'm actually kind of glad you brought up the independence thing, because I was reading, I've been reading through Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey. And he talks about in there kind of a continuum from dependence to interdependence. Mm-hmm. So it goes dependent, independent, interdependent. So if you are still dependent, which basically means you rely on other people for things to be done and all that kind of stuff, you cannot be interdependent. You have to reach that independence first before you can be interdependent. Now, what interdependence is, it's actually one of the strongest things that we can be. It's when we work together with each other, playing on each other's strengths and focusing on that to help us get to where we need to get. Whatever it is, whether it's in business or a relationship, really. And that interdependence is very important. Basically, we're working together towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. And if you are doing things independently, which some people, you know, let's take single moms. Some people, they don't really have the option. They have to do it independently. And they can absolutely do it. I see a lot of single moms knock it out of the park, and I'm amazed by them every day. Mm-hmm. But if we're able to have that interdependence, even if it's not just, you know, a husband and a wife, it could be a single mom with her mom and her friends and people coming together to help, you know, they say it takes a village to help raise children and all that. If we're able to work together with other people, we're probably going to have a better result than if we just try to, you know, push on by ourselves and say, you know what, I got this. I don't need anybody else. I don't need any help. Because as humans, we're very gregarious to begin with. And that just means really social. We're social beings. We're meant to be in contact with other people. But if you look at it from that perspective, that, hey, I'm working together with this person towards a common goal, instead of, you know, taking offense at everything and seeing everything that we don't agree with or don't like as a threat. So seeing somebody opening the door for me as a threat, you know, well, I can do it myself. I don't know why he's doing it. Instead of being like, oh, that's cool. Thank you. You know, mm-hmm. we don't need to infer intent and assume that what people are doing is malicious, because somebody opening the door to me is not malicious. It's actually a very kind thing. And I mean, I open the door for people sometimes too. And sometimes yeah. I get some really weird looks, especially if I do it for a guy, I get some weird looks. But anyways, what do y'all think about that kind of concept of interdependence?
I think that's great. And I think that's exactly, you know, where it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I like that you brought up the fact that a lot of the things that you'll hear nowadays about women, you know, with men, and the reactions and the things that are being said are because women are interpreting what men are doing as a threat, or men are interpreting what women are doing as a threat. And I think it'd be much more helpful, instead of doing that, if we just look at one another and ask, hey, you know, what can I do to help? What can I do to make this relationship deeper and stronger? And how can I help this other person? And yep. And my husband has opened the door for me forever. And I like it.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you said there was kind of, was really important, putting the relationship before what I want. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about how if you want a relationship to work, you can't just focus on just getting what you want. And if what you want is some sort of superiority or dominance in a relationship, then we're really ignoring what the important thing is about a relationship, and that is doing everything that we can to build it stronger, which means playing on each other's strengths. I am, y'all probably can't tell from this, but I'm a fairly short person. I'm 5'2", and I just so happened to marry a fairly tall person. He is 6'2". He's a full foot taller than I am. Now, playing to each other's strengths would be if I'm in the kitchen and I have something on the top shelf, I'm probably going to ask him, hey, can you come get this? Now, sure, I could grab a chair, and sometimes I do. I grab a chair, and I go and reach and try to grab something, and sometimes he'll look over and be like, you need me to help with that? You know, I can do that. And sometimes I'll be like, nah, I don't need it. But other times I'll be like, you know, I don't really want to drag a chair from the kitchen into the laundry room, so I think I might just, you know, ask to borrow his height for a little bit. But playing to each other's strengths. If we have a difficult conversation coming up with someone and maybe he's more heated about it than I am, playing to each other's strengths might be, hey, you know what? I'm a social worker. I'm a therapist. I can have calm conversations with people when I'm upset or when I disagree with them. Why don't you let me handle this conversation? Or on the flip side, if it's a conversation where somebody needs to be assertive and get the what for's, he might handle that conversation. But basically playing to each other's strengths and focusing on that instead of focusing on, well, I want this and I want that and I'm not getting what I want and it's so unfair and all these thoughts that kind of take away from the relationship and hinder our ability to communicate with each other. But we are actually getting close to the close. So any final thoughts? What are y'all's final thoughts about healthy femininity?
So it kind of sounds like healthy femininity centers around having a healthy mindset.
Mm, yes.
Absolutely.
Thinking mm-hmm. healthy, accurate, you know, realistic, healthy thinking.
And I totally agree.
And not taking things personally. Mm-hmm. What's that acronym, Heather?
Oh, Q-tip. Q-T-I-P. Quit taking it personally.
Right. Exactly. And not letting everybody else tell us what we need to think, deciding for ourselves what we're going to think mm-hmm. and basing that on what's the healthiest thing for not only myself, but also for the relationship. And if it's healthy for the relationship, it's probably going to be pretty healthy for you too. It just might not be exactly what you want. But thank you so much, guys, for joining us here in the Art Lab. Hopefully, we answered some questions for you. If you have any other questions, hey, you're welcome to message us on the podcast Facebook. You can message us on the Psychology for Women Flow Twitter page. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team.